Morning, everyone. 3 days till Christmas. You got all your prezzies ready? Have you got them wrapped? Don't tell Robin this, but it actually just dawned on me last night. I actually haven't bought Robin a Christmas present yet. Don't tell her. It'll be a surprise. Actually, it probably won't be. How about the ham? You got the ham ready? Have you got the Christmas tree yet? Put your hand up if you've already got the Christmas tree. Well, this Brompton household hasn't done it yet. It's a bit of a Christmas tradition for us. Christmas just isn't the same until you go out into the paddock and find the most beautiful tree you can and chop it down. It really brings a family together. That makes Christmas for us. How about your jobs? Have you got all your jobs tidied up so that you can have a few days off over Christmas? I'm mainly at this point singing, no. But of course, more importantly, are our hearts ready for Christmas? Are our hearts ready for the coming of Jesus? Now, I'm not talking about are our hearts ready for a little baby to be born. The question is, are our hearts ready for the Lord? You see, when we celebrate the first coming of Jesus, it's also a reminder that Jesus is coming again. And are we ready for that? We actually talked about that a bit last week. You see, part of the Christmas story is the story of John the Baptist, and his message is to prepare the way for the coming of the Lord. And as I said before, it's not so much about the preparing for the coming of a little baby. In fact, John didn't begin his ministry while Jesus was a little baby. It was about the coming of the Lord. And the few verses that we're going to read today is a prophecy. It's a prophecy that's been given by Zechariah. That's John the Baptist's dad. And he is prophesying over his own little baby, John, at his birth. And I'll read it to you now. Luke chapter 1. Verses 76 to 79, just four verses. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we prepare for Christmas and as we prepare for the coming of your Son, may we know and experience your tender mercy. May you prepare our hearts as John was sent to prepare the hearts of the people of old. And so speak to us now through your word, we pray. Amen. Righto, so John the Baptist was to prepare the way for Jesus' coming, to give the people knowledge of salvation in the forgiveness of sins. And this, we know, this is the only way to be saved, to repent of sin. And in the mercy of God, we are forgiven and we're saved. But Jesus didn't only come to save. Jesus came to enlighten. You see, part of the whole salvation experience, part of being saved, is to be bathed in light, to be bathed in spiritual light, being awakened to the dawning of Jesus and following him, which we talk about walking in the light. So this Christmas season today, and some more on Christmas Day, we're going to be focusing on Jesus as the light of the world. Do you ever look forward to the sunrise? Some don't. Some do. Now for me, the thing that I've never really missed about my farming career were the constant 3 a.m. wake-up alarms that I would have to have set day after day, week after week, when the spraying needed to be done. So when I was working at the Ag College, the whole farm was basically a floodplain. And the way to control erosion was to do what's called strip cropping. So you have just all of these strips of crop planted across the paddock, so that at no point would the whole paddock be completely bare. Because if the whole paddock was completely bare and the floodwaters came across, it would just cut a great big creek through it and just erode all the dirt away. Whereas it had sort of, on the bare patches, it would pick up water and start to pick up dirt, but then it'd hit the crop and slow down and drop the dirt out again. So people on the downs know about this sort of stuff really well. But so some of the strips, there weren't many of them that were wider than 100 metres. Some of them were down under 50 metres wide in the parts of where the water flowed the most. But that made it really difficult for spraying, because there'd be times where you'd have out of control weeds growing in one strip, but then on each side of that strip is brand new crop that might be just out of the ground. How do you spray that, those weeds, without the spray drifting across and killing all that crop? And so you'd have to do it when the wind's in the right direction, which is hard when it's in strips, and you'd have to do it when there was hardly any wind, which means at night time or really early in the morning, because that's when there's less wind. Now, this was before the days of GPS. Yes, I'm that old. Well, GPS existed, but not many people had guidance on their equipment at this stage. Well, when I started, it didn't exist. But what we had as guidance is a thing called a blob dobber. Don't you just love that name? A blob dobber. Yeah. So what it did is the blob dobber would generate these blobs of bubbles out at the end of the boom, and every, probably 50 metres or so, it would drop a blob of bubbles onto the ground. And that's because it's on the end of the boom, well, that marked where you'd sprayed up to. And provided by the time you'd finished your lap and come back, provided it wasn't too windy and blew the bubbles across the paddock, and provided it wasn't too dry and they'd evaporated and disappeared, you'd see those blobs of bubbles and you'd just follow them. Now, what I'd have to do is I'd want to start right at sunrise. And so I'd have to set the alarm for 3 a.m., eat breakfast, drive to work, and the Ag College isn't like a normal farm where you can just have everything set up. I'd have to unlock, get keys out of key boxes and everything, take forever. But anyway, you'd get all that done, and in the pitch dark still, you'd load up your first batch of spray, take it down the paddock, unfold the boom spray, and if I timed things just right, by the time I'd got the boom spray unfolded, there'd be just enough light on the horizon so that you could look behind and see if all your nozzles were working. And by the time you've done that, there'd be just enough light to see the edge of your paddock for you to spray your first run. Blob and blob dobbers out as you go. And then by the time you turn around at the other end, hopefully it was enough light for you to see the blobs so that you could keep spraying. Now, this might seem really strange to you, but that is what I thought about when I read today's Bible reading, about how the sunrise shall visit us from on high, and about how it is a light to guide our feet. It reminded me of the multitude of times that I longed for the sunrise to come because I could not see the way until the sun came up. And I just love verse 78. Because of the tender mercy of God. Think about that for a moment. The tender mercy of God. Hang on a minute. Isn't God supposed to be harsh and ridiculing and out to get us? No, not at all. Because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. Don't you just love that image? Jesus as the sunrise, bringing light into the world. I guess what you think of that image depends on whether you're a morning person or not a morning person. Some folk just really, at sunrise time, they actually don't want to be conscious. They want to just be in bed. Me, I'm a morning person. Who here is a morning person? Less than half of us are morning people. Who's going to admit that they are not a morning person? Hands up high. Okay. Yeah, around about half. And that leaves about a third of you have no idea whether you're a morning person or not. That's pretty troubling. Okay, now, for me, I'm a morning person. And morning people, look, I don't mean to be judgy here, but we morning people, we find it really hard to understand how anyone could possibly still want to be in bed 3 hours after what the sun's come up. We just, morning people, we don't get that, do we? No, we just cannot understand it. How crazy is that? Especially in summer. Nighttime is for sleeping. Morning time, that's the best time of the day. And some of you agree with me. But try telling that to someone who's not a morning person. You don't tell me it's the best time of day. And this got me thinking. Spiritually, there are morning people and there are night people. It's got nothing to do whether you like to see the sunrise or not, or whether you want to sleep in. Spiritually, there are morning people and there are night people. For some, it is the best thing ever that Jesus, the sunrise from on high, has visited us. Let me be really clear here. It doesn't matter how good your headlights are on your car, or how good your torch is, or how good your spotlights are, or how good your new fancy LED lights are. When it comes to light, you cannot beat the bright, pure, shining light of the sun. You can't beat it, can you? So spiritually, we were living in darkness. But then comes the spiritual sunrise. Jesus has come, pouring his light into the world. Pure light, bright light. You know, we tend to think of, when we think of Jesus as the light of the world, how many times have you seen a picture of Jesus holding a little candle? And that's what we think of with Jesus being the light in the world. That's not the sort of light we're talking about here. Jesus is the light of the world, like the sunrise, the bright, shining, pure light. And some people are like, oh, the sun's here. Go away. Leave me alone. Who left that curtain open a crack? Does anybody, am I describing anybody here? I'm seeing a little bit of love. I'm actually describing my wife. I've seen this over and over again. Who left that curtain open? Shut it, will you? But some people are like that with Jesus. The light of Jesus is breaking into the world. Oh, get away from me. I don't want that. But then there are those who long for the morning and they welcome the morning. Jesus has come. There's light. We can see. So, spiritually speaking, if Jesus is the light of the world, if Jesus is the sunrise that visits us from on high, what's the darkness? Well, Jesus came to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. What a dreadful image. To just sit in darkness. Oh, it's not an image of having a nice, restful sleep. This is an image of somebody just sitting in the dark. Who likes to do that for fun? Ugh. To have no vision, to sit in the shadow of death. It's not an image of sleeping, it's an image of just merely existing. To sit is your position. It's a non-transient position. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. You're just existing. It is where one is stationed. To sit in darkness, to sit in the shadow of death. Now, when sin entered the world, the consequence of sin is death. When a person sins by rejecting Jesus, because that's what sin is to reject Jesus. And by doing wrong, that's the symptom of sin. But with that sin comes death. And so the inherent spiritual state of man is a state of spiritual darkness. Why? Because we are all sinners and therefore we are overshadowed by death. And so the natural state of man is to sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. The natural state of man can only end in death. But hear the good news. Our God is a God of tender mercy. And because of his tender mercy, there has been a spiritual sunrise. Jesus has come. With what purpose? To enlighten, to light up the path, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Under the shadow of death, no peace. You imagine if death is just looming over you, how can you have peace with that? But with the sunrise from on high, lighting the path, it guides our feet into the way of peace. Now, at Christmas time, a lot of carols talk about peace. And even folk who want to remove all religion from Christmas and who want to scrub every hint of Jesus from Christmas, even they like to focus a bit on peace. How many times do we see the word peace written in some kind of beautiful script to do with Christmas, even by non-Christians? And many people search for peace. You might be searching for peace. They crave peace in all sorts of ways, but they never find genuine peace. They might have moments of peace, little snippets of peace, but they never find long-lasting, genuine peace. Do you know why? It's because spiritually they're not mourning people. The spiritual curtains are shut. The sunrise has visited us on high, but shut that out. The light of Jesus, it's not like the little dull light that you've got on your iPhone that'll just get you out of trouble in times of need. The light of Jesus is the sunrise. That is how effective Jesus is. If only we pull back the blinds and let the light in. But even so, light never drags us into peace. Light doesn't drag us into anything, does it? Light guides us into peace. The way to experience peace with God, the way to experience peace in life, is to walk in the light of Jesus. He will guide us. We follow him. That's what we call discipleship. As disciples of Jesus, we follow Jesus in his ways. We follow him in his ways of righteousness and love. And my prayer for this Christmas is that we would be spiritually mourning people, that we would not shut out the sunrise, that we would pull back the curtains and let the sun in. And I spelt the sun here, S-O-N. Let the bright shining light of Jesus guide our feet into the way of peace. So be prepared for the coming of Jesus by welcoming the light and walking in the light. Spiritually, be a mourning person. Amen.